Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 12, entitled The Killing of the Demon Agasura, Text Number 40. Sisuta uvacha,
Sisuta uvacha,
itam dvija yadava devadatta,
itam dvija yadava devadatta,
shudva svaratus charitam vichitram, prapaccha bhuyo pitareva punyam, vayasa kim yan nigrihita cheta,
vayasa kim yan nigrihita cheta,
sisuta uvacha,
sisuta uvacha,
itam dvijaya dava deva datta,
itam dvijaya dava deva datta,
shudva svaratus charitam vichitram, prapaccha bhuyo pitareva punyam, vayasa kim yan nigrihita cheta, sisutu vacha, itam dvijaya dava deva datta, shutva svaratus charitam vichitram, prapaccha bhuyo pitareva punyam, vayasa kim yan nigrihita cheta. Translation. Sri Suta Goswami said, O learned saints, the childhood pastimes of Sri Krishna are very wonderful. Maharaj Pariksit, after hearing about those pastimes of Krishna, who had saved him in the womb of his mother, became steady in his mind, and again inquired from Sukadev Goswami to hear about those pious activities. There is no purport. So text 41. Sri Rajuvacha Brahman Kalantarakritam Tatkalinam Katambhavet Yet komare hari kritam yagupoganda kirbaka. Translation. Maharaj Pariksit inquired, O great sage, how could things done in the past have been described as being done at the present? Lord Sri Krishna performed this pastime of killing Agasura during his Komara age. How then, during his Poganda age, could boys have described this incident as having happened recently? Text 42. Tad bruhi me mahayogin param kutuhalam guru nunam etat darireva maya bhavati nanyata. O greatest yogi, my spiritual master, kindly describe why this happened. I am very much curious to know about it. I think that it was nothing but another illusion due to Krishna. Purport. Krishna has many potencies. Parasya Shakti Vivadaiva Suyate, from the Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.8. The description of Agasura was disclosed after 1 year. Some act of Krishna's potency must have been involved. Therefore, Maharaj Pariksit was very curious to know about this, and he requested Suta Goswami to explain it. Om Jnana Timanandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Chakshur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kvadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, in these verses, we are getting a few questions and not yet the answers. It is leading up to the next pastime, which, of course, is explaining the reason why. It took a whole year before the boys told about the wonderful activities that happened in the forest. One should imagine that the residents of Vrindavan were all very much concerned with what's happened to Krishna. So therefore the elders in Vrindavan, they were eagerly waiting for the cowherd boys to return from the forest every evening. And they were not only eagerly waiting for them to return, they also wanted to know exactly what happened in the forest, because every day there was some amazing adventure to tell. So therefore they were very eager to hear what had happened now, and then they were speaking about this for a long time, about how amazing it was. Remember how Krishna killed this Agasura and how amazing that was? And like this, it was a great, great conversation topic. And in this way, it was natural for the boys to tell immediately what had happened. They were very exciting to tell, you know. They couldn't wait until I get home, until they hear this one, you know. I mean, phew, this one is even more far out than anything that happened before so far, right? I mean, no one will believe this, but today Krishna killed this serpent, which was so huge, you know, that, like, inconceivable. So, wait till they hear it. But yet, the boys did not tell until a year later. So, we understand that Krishna here must have played some tricks. Maharaj Pariksit could immediately understand. Because Maharaj Pariksit was a great devotee of Krishna, and a great devotee can understand the intention of Krishna. He can understand how Krishna operates, because Krishna reveals that to him from within his heart. So the pure devotee of the Lord, he knows Krishna from within his heart. It is explained that Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Sudha Nitya Mukto Abhinatvam Naminamino, that the name of Lord Krishna is none different from Krishna himself. And that is in itself quite an amazing feat, because if one chants the name of Krishna, then immediately one is associating with Krishna directly. And it is explained that within the name everything is contained. Sometimes people ask, is it all right to meditate on a picture of Krishna in Vrindavan while chanting japa? And I find this very inspiring, this meditating on the pictures while chanting japa. Is that all right? Yes, it's all right, but it's not particularly required. It's not required to kind of look at a picture and to, in this way, get in the mood of Vrindavan, because the entire mood of Vrindavan is there in the holy name, in the very syllable of Krishna. In these various aspects of the Maha Mantra, everything is contained. Of course, the name Krishna is referring to he who is akarsan, or who can attract everyone very expertly. He knows how to attract every living entity, and na comes from Anand, who can give full satisfaction to all living entities. It says, Rama iti Rama padena so satchinanda chidatmani. Iti Rama padena so satchinanda chidatmani. No, third line doesn't want to come. Third line, I don't remember. Fourth line, param brahma vidiyate. Which explains that in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, we find that all his devotees we're experiencing unlimited transcendental bliss. The very word Ram, Ramanta Yogino Nante, Satchananda Chiratmani. The word Ram or Ramanta means to enjoy. It means to enjoy. That spiritual life, we always enjoy very much the all devotional service. It is very pleasurable. So the name Ram is referring to that aspect. And Hari is referring to Haranti, or that which steals away. That which is stealing away all our material desires. That which is subsequently stealing away our whole attention. That which is stealing away everything. That is Krishna. He is the one who's stealing away everyone's mind. So in this way, within the very chanting of the holy name, the entire mood of Vrindavan is manifest, and therefore, simply by chanting, it says, if one chants the name of the Lord, then not only the form of the Lord is there, but even the pastimes of the Lord are being manifest from the name as well. And in due course of time, one will see the spiritual world in front of his eyes. We find descriptions of various devotees of the Lord who were able to see themselves in the spiritual world. It says how Shamananda one time was seeing himself in the spiritual world. He was seeing Srimati Radharani, and in that role in the spiritual world, he was taking the form of a gopi, and just then the pearl of Srimati Radharani that was on her nose had fallen into the river Yamuna. And in his gopi form, he was helping to find this particular nose ring. And she was diving in the water to find that, etc., and just to return it in time to Srimati Radharani. All along, while this was going on, Shamananda in this world was just remaining in a frozen condition. He was not moving. He was just standing in a trance, and everyone was just wondering what's happening. He's in some ecstatic symptoms, but he is in this way, actually, he's like stunned in some strange form of consciousness. But he himself was directly perceiving the spiritual world. So this is possible for the topmost devotees of the Lord who have their experience of spiritual reality. And all this is possible in the chanting of the holy name. This is for the Parisat devotees of the Lord. So they are very exalted devotees. So everything is there within the very name of the Lord. And therefore, there is no need to try and in any other way find out more about the Absolute Truth. The process of studying transcendental literatures is not a process which can be compared to mundane learning. It is not a process where we are trying to learn the science of Krishna by heart, right? But rather, the learning of Krishna consciousness is meant to establish faith. The real purpose of finding out more and more about Krishna is to establish more and more faith in Krishna. Because the more one hears about Krishna's wonderful qualities, the more one becomes convinced that he is indeed very, very great and worshipable, the more one becomes attracted, naturally. Now, first, we are very much attracted to ourselves. There is a story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat about Pundarik Vijayanidhi. It said Pundarik Vijayanidhi was known to be a great devotee of the Lord. He was very famous for being a devotee. And Pundarik Vijayanidhi, he lived far away from Bengal because he came from East Bengal in Bangladesh. Therefore, the devotees didn't know him, but they had heard about him. and he was well known as a great devotee of the Lord. So one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting on the Vyasasan, and he was saying, "Oh Pundarik, oh Pundarik, oh my father Pundarik." So all the devotees were wondering who is he speaking about. Some didn't even know who Pundarik was. But Mukunda, he knew because he came from the same place. He also came from there, so he knew Pundarik Vijayaniri very well. And Mukunda was an intimate friend of Gadadhar Pandit. Therefore, Mukunda wanted to take Gadadhar to meet Pundarik Vijayaniri. So they went to see Pundarik Vijayaniri. And Mukunda was telling Gadadhar on the way, "And now today you will see a devotee. You will see a devotee of Krishna like you've never seen before. Wait until you meet him. I mean, I'm so eager to introduce you to him. You will see what kind of a devotee he is. This is amazing, amazing devotee." So they came there, and Pundarik Vijayaniri was sitting on a raised seat with nice, soft, silken cushions and little cushions in his back, right, and roll cushions to support his arm, and there were nice water pots on the side, and there were two servants fanning him, and his hair was beautifully groomed like that around his head, and he had a very beautiful tilak, and he had nice sandalwood dots on his forehead, and he had little dots here and there with perfumed sandalwood all over his face, and he was nicely decorated like that, and he had the most expensive silken clothes with nice buttons and everything, and big rings on his fingers, and he looked really like that. And Gadadhar, as he was looking at him, was thinking, "Is this the great devotee?" At the side of Pundarik Vijayaniri, there were two mirrors like that next to him, and he was all the time smiling at himself in the two mirrors, enjoying the sight, looking at his beautiful profile. So when Gadadhar saw this, he was thinking, "Well, you know, I mean, is he a great devotee?" So Mukunda, he decided that he could see, oh, Gadadhar is having some doubts. Because, generally speaking, this is the business of the materialists who like to sit in front of the mirror for hours and enjoy their own beauty in all different corners and angles, etc. And you have from these mirrors that you can fold in such a way that you see yourself 100 times. That is their pastime. So it seemed that Pundarik was such a person who loved himself the most. Psychologists call this narcissism, right? Loving yourself the most. And it says that many people in this world, in relationships of love, actually love themselves. Rather than loving, they love to be loved, right? That's it. They love that others adore them, how wonderful they are, and that makes them feel good. Not that they actually are loving. So it seemed that Pundarik Vijayaniri was such a hard-hearted materialist who was just selfishly interested. But when Mukunda saw Gadadhar's doubt, then Mukunda spoke a verse of Srimad Bhagavatam speaking about how amazing it was that Putana, who had come and to try to kill the child Krishna, because she was very much addicted to drink the blood of little children, that how amazing it was that Putana, although she tried to kill little Krishna, that she was rewarded the position of his mother in the spiritual world. She was also given a position as a nurse to assist Mother Yasoda. So that was amazing. When Pundarik Vijayaniri, when he heard this, he lost himself. He completely lost it. He threw himself and he knocked over the pots of water. I need to be careful that I don't knock over the glass. And he fell on the ground, rolled on the ground, made a mess of all the silk cloth and everything. And in this way, he displayed his love of God. So the great devotees of the Lord, they over a seemingly insignificant thing, it is very significant to them. A story like that, which is interesting that Putana was rewarded, this position of the mother as Krishna, it is certainly to us also a point of interest to note, right? We can remember. But then, it goes on, but not for these great devotees. Because they are meditating very deep. They are not just hearing, but they are deeply thinking about what is being said. They are deeply considering that, just see the mercy of Krishna. Just see the mercy of Krishna. He is, everything is just going on by His mercy, and by His mercy, everyone will become fully satisfied. That is Lord Krishna. How wonderful is He? So it is very important to understand the mercy of Lord Krishna. Because unless we understand the mercy of Lord Krishna, how can we appreciate Him, and how can we then develop further to the point of love of God? It says, Shrutim apare smitim itre bharatamanye bhajantu bhava bitta aham iam nandavande yasya linda param brahma. That many people, they are studying the Shruti, others are studying the Smriti, and again others are studying the Mahabharat, and they're following very carefully all the rules of these scriptures. Why? Out of fear. Out of fear that they may have to take another birth again. Out of fear of suffering in the material world. That is why they are engaging in the service of Lord Krishna. So, are we beyond that platform? Are we beyond the platform of serving Krishna out of fear? Or are we also serving because we are considering that, well, if I don't surrender to Krishna, again, I will have to take another birth, again I will have to suffer in the material world. So are we motivated by fear of all the suffering that one may experience in the material world? The devotee who wrote this verse said, but I, aham iam nanda vande, but I worship Nanda Maharaj. I don't worship Krishna, I worship Nanda Maharaj. Because in his courtyard, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is playing like a child. So this verse is also in that mood of parental affection. And it is beyond the mood of regulative principles of the scriptures. It is beyond the mood of duty. I have to perform my duty. Why? Because it says so in the scriptures. So my whole life I will do my prescribed duty. But rather, the spirit of such devotees is beyond the sense of duty. It is based on the spirit of attraction. Because they are considering that how amazing is Krishna. That He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The one who upholds all the planets floating in outer space. The one who is the origin of all the universes. The one who is the source of all energies. That one is playing like a little child in the courtyard of Maharaj Nanda. How great must Nanda Maharaj be that Krishna is taking this position? So all these considerations are there in the mind of the devotee. And by considering like that, by being thoughtful and by seeing how wonderful Krishna is, one can appreciate. And one can see that, just see that how Krishna reciprocates with his devotee. His devotee wants to have the opportunity to serve Krishna, and Krishna comes and takes the position as his child and makes him forget that he's the Supreme Lord. And then Krishna is carrying the shoes of Nanda Maharaj on his head. Nanda Maharaj says, go bring my shoes, and Krishna carries. And Nanda Maharaj is always just thinking about Krishna, always worrying about Krishna, always thinking how he's going to protect Krishna. And in this way, he is serving Krishna even more than Krishna is serving him, because the parent is serving the child more than the child the parent. The parent, everything is around the child, and all the arrangements around the child. They're just making it all nice for Krishna. So in this way, Nanda Maharaj is completely absorbed, and Krishna is reciprocating. So Krishna goes very far to reciprocate with his devotee. And that is how Krishna is merciful. So this makes Krishna consciousness something very different from any other concept of religion. Because in any other concept of religion, God is kind of the supreme controller, that is emphasized, or he is all good, and he is loving all the living entities, and he is kind of merciful and kind to all living entities, and those living entities that are not surrendering to him are being punished, and those living entities who are surrendering to him are being rewarded for their piety, and in this way he reciprocates, and then and he is some sort of equipoised, self-satisfied, loving personality. Right? So that is all true. Krishna is like that. The Supreme Lord is Atmaram. He is fully satisfied within himself. He is equipoised. He is equally distributing his mercy to all living entities. But the aspect that we are finding out in Krishna consciousness is the other aspect of Krishna, which is that Krishna is very personal. And as Rupa Goswami states in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he states the different qualities of devotional service. And he's explaining that devotional service is sudurlabha, it is subhada, it is very rare, it is all auspicious. And he's saying, finally, it is Sri Krishna Akarsani. It is that activity which can attract Krishna. Devotional service can bring Krishna under control and can attract Krishna. And that is the interesting part, that it is all to do with a personal relationship with Krishna, that the devotee has the power to attract Krishna. Not only does Krishna have the power to attract the devotee, but the devotee has the power to attract Krishna. So when this starts happening, when one is engaging in devotional service, and one is experiencing that Krishna begins to reciprocate and begins to reveal himself, etc., then one becomes very, very enthused. Then it becomes very, very exciting. And then one becomes very, very eager to try and attract Krishna by his service. So in this way, the eternally liberated devotees are acting in this way. They're trying to attract Krishna by their devotional service. So this is one feature of the mercy of Krishna, that he is very personal and that he becomes personally attracted to the service of the devotee. So one may think, yes, this is amazing, this is amazing. And we can see that in so many devotees. Just see how Draupadi was being disrobed in the assembly, and how Krishna supplied unlimited lengths of cloth. Just see how Prahlad was being thrown off a cliff, and how Krishna caught him, was waiting at the bottom to catch him. Just see how much Maharaj Ambarish was cursed by Durvasa Muni, who pulled a hair of his head and created a horrible demon to kill him, and how Lord Krishna personally protected Ambarish Maharaj with the Sudarshan disc, and then subsequently chased Durvasa Muni all over the universe. And we can see how Krishna reciprocated with his devotees. We can equally see how Krishna reciprocated with his pure devotee Maharaj Pariksit, who was already a great devotee from birth, from before birth, because Krishna came within the womb and gave him darshan. So after having seen Krishna once, how could he not ever look for Krishna? He was, his, the rest of his life, he was looking for Krishna everywhere. But in our case, such miracles don't happen. At least not very common. Most of us are not having the experience that Krishna speaks to us. Most of us do not have the experience that when we take darshan of the deities, that suddenly the deities tell us that I really liked the puris you cooked for me yesterday. They were very nice. No, we do not experience these things, generally speaking. So for us, it seems that devotional service is just more on an earthly platform, and that we have to work hard in devotional service and hope that one day we'll get some mercy, right? And it is just like a big struggle. It's tough. And it just goes on and on and on, and we're just waiting for when finally, you know, we'll get the mercy. Right? And we're thinking, you know, when will I get the mercy? Oh, when will I also finally get the mercy? It's because I'm not a pure devotee. Yes, the pure devotees, they get the mercy, but because I'm not a pure devotee, that's why I'm not getting. Krishna reciprocates with his devotees as they surrender, and he personally reveals himself to his pure devotees, but to ordinary devotees, no, they'll just rot. There's this verse, Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langayate garin yat kripatamaham vande Sri Chaitanya Miswaram or Sri Guru Dinatarinam. It says that lame can cross mountains, right, by devotional service, but we have devotees in wheelchairs. In other words, you know, like, I mean, it doesn't seem to work for ordinary devotees, right? They're lame as anything, and they can't suddenly walk, you know. Nothing like that. They're just roaming around in wheelchairs. So, it looks like when it came to mercy, that you'll only get mercy when you engage in pure devotional service. Yes, then Krishna will give you personal mercy. And otherwise, you just gotta go through the whole thing of waiting till all your karma is finished, you know, and just suffer here and suffer there and just struggle, struggle, struggle on and on in devotional service. That's what it seems to be like, right? So, no mercy for us. Is this the bottom line? Yeah, looks like that. No, it's not true. Rather, we should not just look at the mercy that we want, but we should also look at the mercy that we already got. You see, we already got so much mercy. But what have we done with that? This is the point. Krishna gave us already so much. We're not looking. We're thinking, where is the mercy? I want mercy. I'm not getting. We already got. We got everything. We got so much mercy, but what did we do with it? So first, let us do something with the mercy we got. We got the process of devotional service. Now, we must do something with it. And as soon as we do something with it, then more mercy comes. But we are thinking, oh, I'm not getting. So this is our position. So, if we take advantage of the process of devotional service, then Krishna will be pleased and will attract the mercy of Krishna. Then we will also be able to penetrate deeper into the pastimes of Krishna, and they will become the most important thing in our life. Like we have heard many times, that these windows of these paintings are windows to the spiritual world, and that is a well-known thing. So if we think about that for a moment, if these are the windows, and here we look into the spiritual world, then what are they? The windows there, they are the pictures. They're the pictures. We look out of there, there's just some picture there, you know, some image. It's an illusory picture. This, which we think is the picture, is not the picture. This is the window. This is the real thing. This is the real world. Here we're looking through this, we're looking into the real world. There, we're looking at some imaginary world, right? We think it's just the opposite, right? We look out of that window and we think that's the real world, and we look at this and we think this is the picture. But we got it wrong. We got it wrong. This is the real world, and that is the imaginary world. So if one makes this adjustment, by becoming attracted to Krishna, then that is what happens. One suddenly begins to realize that these activities of Krishna that are being described, they are the real world. And not everything that's happening. You know, I got a bill in my in the mail today. Big bill. What a fry. Oh, that's nothing. I got a fine, you know, a parking fine. Really, yes, you know, like, oh, well, you know, you guys are lucky. I got a telephone call that my mother's in the hospital. I got to go immediately. Oh, boy, what a bummer, what a bummer. Well, I don't know why you guys are crying so much, because I think life is great. I just had an inheritance yesterday, and I inherited so much, and I'm completely happy. I don't know why people are so depressed and seeing life as so miserable. So this world of dualities, which we all take so serious, ups and downs, that's all the picture, the imaginary world. And the real world is the world of Krishna and his devotees. So we see that the pure devotees who have become purified from Maya, from illusion, that they only speak about Krishna because they realize this point. This is the real world. And the Maya world, who's interested in that? They never speak about that. They don't care about that. They speak about Krishna only. And this is the perfection. So if we start practicing this, to speak more Krishna Katha, that will help us a lot in spiritual advancement. Krishna Katha can satisfy us very quickly, and when we get into the habit of discussing Krishna Katha, then it becomes an addiction, and gradually our consciousness will shift from the material energy to the spiritual energy. That is the process. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for that purpose, and therefore we are discussing again and again these well-known pastimes of Krishna, knowing that they will destroy nasta prayesu abhadresu nityam bhagavata sevya. They will destroy all the contamination of material life. And they'll make our life perfect. And even if, in the beginning, we do not yet have much taste for these spiritual discussions, by doing it, we will gradually develop the taste. I can give one example, is that in spiritual life, time works in our favor. Time works in our favor. Because with old age, right, old people, they are very much addicted to their habits. They cannot change. They don't want to change anymore. They just want to do what they're used to. They want to eat what they're used to. They want to live in the place they know. They don't want no more changes. Not, oh, I'm too old for that, you know, too old for change. I can't handle it anymore, you know. It's like, so I was in Jaipur, in the temple in Jaipur, you have many, many nice devotees of Krishna. There is the Radha Govinda temple. And in that Radha Govinda temple, you see mainly old people. And they're very nice old people. Because all these old people, they are coming every day to the temple to do their service for Krishna. And they've done it for so many years, they can't stop anymore. There's one man who comes with the key every day and who opens the door for the deities. And that's his service. And it's been his service for many, many years. And he will never miss a day. There's another man, a pandit who gives Bhagavatam classes, the same class every day. Samsara sagar mein, in this ocean of birth and death, that's how he begins. I know it. I have heard it so many times. And then behind him, there is another man. He's standing behind him. And this man, he is all the time making gestures. He raises his finger. Suddenly he waves his hand, right? Or two hands up, like that. So the first time I saw him, I was thinking, this is the local crazy or something. Who is he, you know? Every temple has one, I guess. Right? So I guess this is him, you know? Anyway, I kept on watching. But then I realized that he was making gestures when there were important points being made in the lecture by the speaker. So he was standing behind the speaker, and just in case somebody was sleeping through the lecture, you know, Krishna, Sansara Saga, then, oh, huh? Yeah, yeah, okay, pay attention. Yeah, this was a good point. Then the finger came like this. So he was doing his service. Huh? So everyone in that temple is having a service, and they're just old people and they don't care. They're going to do their service no matter what, and nobody in the world's going to stop them from doing that service. They're going to do it because they've been doing it their whole life. And this makes them very beautiful old people. Well, after you've finished with darshan in Radha Govinda temple, if you're quick and you know where to go, you can walk to the Radha Gopinath temple. The Radha Gopinath temple there are the original deities of Madhu Pandit. It's a far out temple, beautiful deities, nice paintings of Krishna everywhere. And you look at the site, there's a window, and there are the clothes from Madhu Pandit. And Madhu Pandit, he had a jacket and a hat entirely made of tulsi beads, completely. And he was wearing that when he was chanting japa. They're pretty far out, huh? I also want like that one day. Sounds really good. Anyway, you go in that temple, and in that temple, there are only old ladies doing kirtan. Only. And they're playing the drums and the kartals, this, that. And they are old, you know. Psh, are they old? Their chins and noses have almost grown together. That's how old they are. Foof, are they old, right? And these ugly old ladies, right? They are doing kirtan like anything, you know, like really fired up. And they're dancing quite elegantly in circles, etc., just like gopis, right? And it's not so hard to see, right, that under these ugly old faces, etc., are beautiful young girls. And it's just only a short time that is separating them from taking their spiritual bodies. So these are all beautiful old people, actually, there in Jaipur. Very, very nice. Whenever I go to these temples, I just relish it very much to see the people. This Radha Govinda temple is a temple which has the original deity from Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan. And you can see the Sankirtan spirit in that temple. Because when the people go after the aarti, well, it just begins with the water, you know. Like somehow or other in the West, right, we have changed the tradition of the water. Traditionally, the water was distributed after the aarti in the way as they're still doing it in the Radha Govinda temple. They do it with two pujaris. One is having the conch shell, and the other one a big pot with maha water. And the one with the conch shell is pouring it in his hand and throwing it like, you know, buckets in people's face. You get soaked, completely soaked, soaking wet. And all the people, they stand there to catch the water, trying to swallow it. You see them trying to drink the drops of water and whoosh, you're soaking wet. And then he gives a refill and more, you know, like incredible amounts of water. Not the three drops in your neck, you know, right? That's a system which was introduced in the West somewhere in the early 80s. Before the early 80s in ISKCON, we had that original system of just splashing the water all over the place. But then it became, no, you can't do this to the guests, and that spread everywhere, so it's the three drops in the neck now. But, you know, I still like the other system. Anyway, so after that's over, then the people, they run to the side and they queue up where they start buying Mahaprasadam. And everyone who has, and they have these big ladus, right? And everyone who has bought Mahaprasadam will not just take it, you know, and stuff his face till he's like stuffed himself to the max, the Mahaprasadam he just scored. No, everyone stands at the side of the temple and is distributing the Mahaprasadam. Right? So there we can see the spirit of Rupa Goswami and of Gaur Nithai. There's a big painting of Gaur Nithai hanging on the side, and you can see that this temple is indeed a temple of Lord Chaitanya, because the devotees there, they don't want to keep the mercy for themselves, but they want to give it away. And of course, everyone gets Mahaprasadam, because those who give it away, they get from somebody else, so there's no problem. It's just everyone has Mahaprasadam, gives it to somebody else, and this way everybody gets. Huh? But the mood is much different than everyone has Mahaprasadam and takes it all for himself. Not giving anything to you. Yeah? It's the same thing, right? I mean, it's like if you have so many chairs, it doesn't matter, right? Like, if you give your chair to someone else, then he gives his chair to someone else, and in the end, everyone has a chair. Right? That's how it is. It's in the same way with the Mahaprasadam. Everyone gets. But the mood is very nice. So this is the spirit of those who are cultivating Krishna consciousness for a lifetime. It becomes a habit. It becomes a habit. And once we're old and have done this a whole lifetime, then all those years of habitually serving Krishna work in our favor. Because when we're old, we don't want to change anymore. No way. We're just going to do whatever we've done our whole life. And that's all we know. I know only Krishna. I cannot see anything else. I'm old. I don't want to know anything else anymore. I don't want to know anything new. Forget it. I know only what I've known my whole life, and that is Krishna. Right? Just see how nice it is to grow old in Krishna consciousness. Any questions or comments? Okay. It speaks for itself. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.